50 years ago, as a matter of fact, this past August in 61, I took the wrong subway train, and I had to end up killing a man. I was with the U.S. Army, and I was part of the U.S. Army Security Agency, and I was assigned to Berlin, Germany. I had been trained as an electronic technician, and I worked with quite a bunch of linguists, talented linguists, German, French, Italian, German, Russian, etc. We did what is known as electronic intercept, which is another word for wiretapping. The city of Berlin at that time was, of course, occupied, and half of it was totally communist, and the other half was totally capitalist. Anyway, on one particular night, I was out with my section boss, Buddy Smith. That's not his name. If I told you his real name, I'd have to shoot you all. Buddy and I had some very hot dates with two German, lovely German girls, and we took them to the Rex Casino. We had some drinks. We had some did some dancing, listened to some music, and it's about 1:30, and we left, and we got out onto the street, and I thought we were going to take a taxi, but Buddy informed me that no, we couldn't afford a taxi, and we were going to take the U-Bahn, which is a subway, and I told him, I said, you know, Buddy, we're not really supposed to take the subway. You see, with our top secret clearances, we weren't really supposed to be going. The train went in and out of East Berlin. There was no wall at that particular time. It was put up about a month or so later. And we knew it was going to be put up, but what could we do about it? But the thing was, it would go in and out of East Berlin and make stops there. And I guess the feeling was, you know, top secret clearance, lots of training. We don't want these guys snatched. But he said, don't worry about it. Take a look at those girls. You really want to leave them waiting? So we were on our way to Lisa's apartment in northern Berlin for the main event. And we got into the train, into the subway car. And we made a couple of stops in the in East Berlin. But the it was non-eventful, and so I'm pretty much settled with it. And then we made a stop, and had one stop. And when the doors opened up, three, obviously East German agents got on to the car, and the two taller ones went straight for Buddy. And the two girls, obviously, were in on this. They got up and stood on the other side of the car, and the shorter guy was coming toward me. And he was trying to grab onto me. Buddy was pretty much subdued, so he wasn't going to be any help. I couldn't help him either. So he's yelling at them in his really good German. And then he's yelling to me about how I should get the hell out of there and get some help. And, you know, they don't want me. They don't want you, he says. They want me. So I took his advice. The car doors are still open. I ran toward the door to make sure they stayed open. I pulled the emergency cord, and got out of the train, rushed up to the top stair to the outside street, and made some zigzags around some corners. As I turned around to look at the agent that's following me, he's got his gun out, which looks like it has a silencer on it. And on the other hand, he's got a two-way radio. So I'm running a little faster now. So I rounded a few corners, didn't see him anymore, came across a small apartment building, only two floors to it. The front door was slightly ajar, so I went in, hoping that I could lock the door behind me. No chance, because you needed a key to lock the door. So I knocked on a few doors on the first floor. Nobody answered, obviously. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's gonna answer. So I went up to the second floor. Same thing, knocked on a few doors, nobody answers. I turn around to go back out, and there he is at the bottom of the stairway. And he's got his gun aimed up at me. Instinctively, I drop to the floor. And a couple of shots go by me, puffs of smoke, really, and they embed themselves in the wall. I get up, and I need to get by this guy. His gun is still clicking, but nothing's coming out. How am I going to get by him? So I back up a little bit, and I take a running jump at the top stairway, and I'm hoping to jump over his head and maybe to the bottom of the stairway and get out the door. He anticipates what I'm going to do, so he puts up his hands to catch me. But he loses his balance and falls back onto the stairwell. And I came down with both feet on top of his lungs and stomach. I could hear the huff of air come out of his lungs. And there was a slight crunch under my left foot. But I just thought he was knocked out. And I did the turnover at the bottom of the stairs, got up, grabbed the two-way radio and put it out of its misery on the stairway, and then grabbed his gun and ran out the door. I kept on running, but the first thing I did was get rid of that gun and put it down the sewer. Looked for a few places to hide, because I was sure he was going to get wake up and come back after me again. So I trying all the car doors on cars in the street. I wasn't going to steal one because, although I was born in Philly, I didn't feel like stealing a car that night. But I found one, a big, beautiful black Mercedes with a convertible. The car doors were open. I thought that was a little nuts, but I got in, into the back seat, cowered on the floor, locked all the doors. I must have been there about 2 hours, just waiting for him to come by, but he never showed. And so then the owner comes back. The owner of the car comes back. And he's getting into the car. He's using his key to get into the car. And I nonchalantly got out of the car, and I'm as if I owned it, you know. So I got out of the car, and he's saying to me, it was pretty obvious I was American. There aren't many swarthy Germans. But he said to me, "Du amerikanischer Arschloch, was tun Sie in mein Auto? Sie leine." Loosely translated, that means, "You American asshole, what are you doing in my car? Get the hell out of here." Loosely translated. So I walked away briskly. I wasn't going to run because I was going to be he didn't have a cell phone. There weren't any cell phones in those days. So I started walking. By this time, the lights, the light from the sun is showing. So I know which way south is. So our place of residence was in the southern part of Berlin. And I finally made it after about an hour or so, or 2 hours. Got to the place where we stayed. And the gate guard there waved me in. And I said, "I had a pretty good night, huh?" I said, "Yeah, right." So went up to my room and sat down, think about what I should do, how I should handle it. And before I had a chance to do that, there's a knock on the door, another security guard. Said, "Colonel McClellan wants to see you." Okay. So he takes me to see McClellan. Colonel McClellan's from the South, very Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he's got a pipe in his mouth as if he's MacArthur or something, but I salute him. He loosely salutes me back and said, "What the hell happened to you last night, Gambardella?" "Sir, I figured he must know what's going on. Maybe Buddy's back." But I told him the whole story just like I told you guys, and then he says to me, "Well," he says, "you did a hell of a job getting away from that guy, but you know what? They're after you. They want your ass. They want you dead." I said, "How do you know that, sir?" He says, "How do I know that?" He says, "Show me your ID. I reach for my pocket. No wallet. I instantly know where the wallet is. It's at the bottom of the stairwell. They have my picture. They have my name. They have my rank. They have my serial number." He said, "They're after you." I said, "How do you know that, sir?" He says, "Gambardella, don't you know we're in the business of intercepting phone calls? You are the star on the phone calls this morning. And by the way, the guy that you got away from, he died 45 minutes ago in the hospital. They want your ass real bad. He says, you got to be on the train back to Frankfurt tonight, USA, ASA headquarters, Army Security Agency headquarters. He says, get your stuff together. You're getting out of here. That's it.